Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, God's on My Side. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
Who's against whom? God's for me.
Yes, he is.
The devil's against me. Shouldn't be scared about it, but I shouldn't be dumb about it either. I should realize he's trying to get some. He's always trying to start something. Mm-hmm. He's a sorry cuss.
Yes, he is.
I'm not going to shed a tear when he gets thrown in the pit. You talk about evil sorry. Him and all his cohorts. That's what they do. Why? He wants to steal from you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. Why don't he just do it? He can't. Unless he can get access. Did the Bible tell us neither give place to the devil? In Ephesians, did he say, don't give the devil any opportunity, any space, any place? What does that mean? It means you can. Give him place, and it means be on your watch and don't. How do people give him place? Well, go to Job, first chapter. Job chapter 1, we actually get a behind the scenes look. It's interesting. Of activities of angels and the enemy and God. And Revelation just got through telling us that the enemy does this against the brethren night and day. In Job 1, verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan, or the Hebrew there, the word is literally adversary. The adversary came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, the adversary, whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Does that sound familiar? Just read that in 1 Peter. What's he doing? Going to and fro. Is that right? What's he doing? We can put Peter with this. What's he going to and fro in the earth and up and down in it? What's he looking for? Those he can destroy, devour. Verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Now, the King James is a little bit rough on this. If you look in the margin of my Bible says, the Hebrew literally says, have you set your heart on? The way some people read this, it's like God brought Job up and said, hey, how about Job? Have you thought about attacking him? That wouldn't be somebody that's for you. That's not what happened. Look up the Hebrew. Like I said, it's even in the margin of my Bible. Have you set your heart on? It's like always. God's always ahead of the enemy. He knows the enemy's been doing his best to get to him. Have you set your heart on him? There's none like him. Perfect, upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. Keep going. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? What's he doing right now? He's beginning to accuse Job to God and to question Job's faith, question Job's heart, question Job's motives. What's he saying? Well, keep reading. Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? How does he know so much about that? Because he's been around it 1,000 times trying to get to him and cannot. He can't do any. Oh, he would have killed Job 1,000 times over, but he couldn't get to him. So what's he trying? That's what he's trying to do right now. How can he get to him? Get judgment against him that would allow him access. Now, if you haven't understood this, don't throw it away. Did you hear those phrases I just mentioned to you? Judgment against that allows access to. And you've blessed the work of his hands. His substance has increased in the land. But if you'll put forth your hand now and touch all he has, he will curse you to your face. The adversary has done this with your name instead of Job. Did we read Revelation or not? Yes. Accused who? Brethren. How often? Day and night. Now some of it he might not have all done personally, but those that are under him have done things too. But he's accused you. What's he saying? Well, yeah, no wonder. I mean, sure, he serves you. You've made him a rich man. But if the riches wasn't there, he wouldn't be there. And if he lost all of this, he'd curse you to your face. His faith in you is not real. It's not there. Accusations, accusing. The language, in fact, in the Greek and the Hebrew, it's like a courtroom scene. It's like a prosecuting attorney presenting a case against the defendant, accusing them of crimes. And to get a judgment against, if you're found guilty, what's supposed to happen next? Punishment. Is that right? Punishment. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Keith, that's all Old Testament. No, it's not all Old Testament. We've already read scriptures of the New Testament, but somebody said that. Hold your place. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. Well, let's go back to chapter 5 first. We're getting something to chew on tonight. Not just skim milk. Huh? Something to chew on a little bit. A little bit stronger. That's good. I said, that's good. And that's supposed to be on a bottle your whole life. In 1 Corinthians, is 1 Corinthians in the New Testament?
Yes.
I want everybody to go on record. Is 1 Corinthians in the New Testament?
Yes.
Is it for believers?
Yes.
Because there's a whole lot of folks nowadays, they're taking books out of the New Testament and saying they don't apply to us.
Yeah.
Don't you believe it? But in case you're confused about some of that, how about 1 Corinthians? Do you feel good about 1 Corinthians?
Yes.
Being for believers
yes.
today.
Yes.
Are they a part of the same church?
Yes.
So truths and the way things were happening with them be the same way things are happening with us.
Yes,
yes or no?
Yes.
Well, good, good. Then we got something to work with. In 1 Corinthians 5:1. It's reported commonly that there's fornication among you. Such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now this wasn't his mother, but it'd be his stepmother. And this guy and his stepmother left his father, and they are living together, and they're also part of the church at Corinth. Why would they be? I won't go into all this, but if you read this and 2 Corinthians, you'll see that there were perversions of the message of grace going around even then at the church at Corinth and other places that all things are permissible because of grace. It's quiet in here. He got his father's wife because... of course, they must have been in love. What are you laughing about? And verse 2, you're puffed up. Well, what would they be puffed up about? The church has got no problem with this? Why? What would they be puffed up about? They think they are enlightened. They have a greater revelation of grace that other people haven't gotten that allows you to do things like this and still be okay. You've not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from you. For I verily, as absent in body but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. Hold on, Paul, that don't sound like grace to me. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together with my spirit and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one to Satan. Huh? That sounds like Old Testament. And yet it's what? You told me it was New Testament. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about some things transpiring that would result in the enemy having access to these individuals. And if he does have access, what's going to happen next? Destruction. But apparently the hope is that even if some flesh things are destroyed, they'll repent and their hearts will be right with God and they'll be okay in the end. Can you see this? But part of what he warned about, if this is not dealt with, it will go through the whole church. Is this New Testament or not?
Yes.
Almost sounds foreign. The way some people think nowadays. Go to the 11th chapter. He said, verse 26, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, 1 Corinthians 11:26, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, what they were doing is they were being disrespectful of communion and of the body and blood of the Lord. They weren't just coming in like we do and taking elements and honoring the Lord. They came in and had a full meal, and people were being gluttonous and they were being drunk, and there were people over here that didn't have much going hungry, and it was just a big mess. And they were being disrespectful. And they were making light of the blood that saved us and washed us. They were making light and trivial of the body.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, God's on My Side, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelifenow.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Branson, Missouri on Monday, October 2nd, as we begin our week of increase. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.
Thanks be to God, God who gives me